Good morning, church. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I'm especially glad that you all made an effort to join us today. Is this something I need to take care of? Anybody have an idea what this is?
That is the thank you part from last week.
Okay. So it's been done? Alright. Alright, you can handle that for me. I did get in time this week to get something in the bulletin. I think I put hope in there. I've actually lengthened the title since then. The title of today's message is my dear, have been coming out of the Psalms and Romans now. And Psalm 71 we're going today to look at our hope. Our hope is in Jesus. So I looked up hope to begin with. What's the at all, part of the time? Okay, it's not me then. It could be, you know. And the feeling that what is wanted will happen. So it's different than faith. Faith is believing that something you can't see will happen. It's desire accompanied by expectation. Of I found is despair. All right.
Switch real quick. Where did you check the heading? Okay. Can you hear me?
No. This one doesn't work either. I got to just talk down like this. You know, walk around like this today and make sure I get everything going on. In Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So, we're talking about desire here when we're talking about hope. So you all know that we've hoped for many things, but I want you to look today at that our hope is in God and in what He does for us. So you would pray with me, and then we'll get started in Psalm 71. Father, I thank You this morning for this opportunity to come without anyone harming us, Father, to be here in the house of God to worship You. Thank You, Lord, for Your love, caring for us. Thank You, Father, that You are our hope. That without You, we are nothing. Father, as You have given me a message for today, Father, I ask that You'll give me the words to speak, that I'll not get in Your way, but that I'll allow You to move and do what You want in the body of Christ today. Father, give us ears to hear what You're saying to the church. And thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of you have probably already went to Psalm 71. So I'm turning there and we're going to look at... let's just read the chapter of Psalms here. It says, "In You, O Lord..." So this is a psalm of David. Most of the psalms are of David, a lot of them aren't, but this one happens to be one of his. It says, "In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in Your righteousness. Turn Your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. So verse 5 is the verse that I feed on for today. And the verse that the Lord pointed out to me to get my eyes to fall on this chapter. Because as I told Patsy, this is the first time I've ever preached on Psalm 71. I don't know, might be the first time I've preached on hope. But it's something that we all have, that we all live for, is our hope in Jesus Christ. Because, as I said, without it, we're nothing. Without Him, we're nothing. From birth I have relied on it, and you brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I will become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I'm old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken me, or forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the skies, O God, and you have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth you will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once again. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long, for those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion. So you can see through the psalmist here that his hope is something that is instilled in us from our youth, when we were young. I, as most of you know, and I'm going to share some today with you why I have this hope. Some of you have heard part of my testimony. I'm going to be a little more inclusive today, including some of the things that God has done in my life that have made his hope in me become alive. It's made me learn to trust God, made me learn to do what He says and what He wants. The first verse that made an impact was that from birth I've relied on you. Most of you know I grew up in a Christian home, so I learned to love the Lord as a young man. I told you I accepted the Lord and made Him Lord of my life when I was 5 years old. I was just a little guy. I can remember it so vividly because I was doing chores one evening. I was up in the barn and in the haymow, and I just I just knelt down there and told the Lord that I was a sinner and that I wanted to be saved and I wanted to serve Him. So in the Mennonite church, that wasn't something that they believed I was too young for that. And so I told Mom and Dad, and so then we told the pastor, and nothing ever was done with it, because apparently they thought I was too young. But I knew in my heart that it was real. I knew in my heart that I had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that I had given my life to Him, and that I was, that my hope was in Him at that time. Maybe even before that, because we had, in our home, we had family devotions every day. Mom and Dad would sit down with us kids, and at that time there was, I think, seven of us at that time. So I have four brothers and four sisters, but they weren't all born yet when I was 5 years old. So most of us were there, but not all yet. So, as accepting Jesus as a young man, I learned to rely on Him. I learned to trust Him, and He taught me to put my hope in Him. Most of you know I grew up on a farm, so there's always things to get into. And I could tell you story after story how He stirred my life and some of the crazy antics that my brothers and I got into. I'm not going to go into those today, because some of you don't need to know some of the things that I did when I was that young. So I'm going to go on from there. Patsy and I were married at the age of 21. Before we got married, when I left the farm, I started building. And that, I guess, now is 52 years ago, in 1971, started building houses. And from there, I went to worked for that builder for 6 months, and then went to work for a plumber and did plumbing for 7 years. During that time, I had a motorcycle accident, and so that would have been actually the next year in 72. I was coming home from work that night out of Mansfield, and a car pulled right out of a side street into my motorcycle and crushed this leg. And when I flew off of my bike, I landed on my head and shoulder and broke this collarbone. So I don't remember the accident at all. God spared me that memory. I remember leaving town that night. The next thing I remember, I was in the emergency room, and the nurse was cutting off my jeans. She said, "I need to cut off your pants. You have a broken leg," and told me why I was in there. And by that time, Dad was there. He was at a, it had to be a 2 or 3 hours, because Dad was at, and Mom were at a picnic that night. And sheriff had to get a hold of them and for them to get there before they could treat me, because they needed consent to treat me. So there was probably a 3 hour window there that I don't remember at all. And I think that was probably from the head trauma, because I did have a crack right down the middle of my helmet. Without a helmet, I would have been killed immediately. The Lord spared my life. And so when I was in the hospital with that, and actually, I was in quite a long time. The first time they did surgery on my femur because the bone was crushed. So they went in and repaired that, and with a plate and screws, put screws in my collarbone and fixed it back together. And so I was in pain, in constant pain when I was in the hospital. I can remember asking for morphine way more than I was supposed to, because that's what the drug that they were using to control my pain, and it wasn't controlling it. I don't know how many of you I have really been thinking a lot of Becky this week because of her having back surgery, because I know what it feels like to have broken bones, and they hurt and hurt for a long time. It doesn't just go away overnight. And so while I was in traction and in pain, I had developed a rash on my torso. It was called to the doctor. I remember the doctor telling my mother that it was a fat embolism. He said, There's nothing we can do for it. The 50-50 chance that he'll live. So I remember when everybody left the room that day, I told the Lord, I said, if you'll spare my life, I will serve you. And so at 19 years of age, I made that decision, because I had not been walking wholeheartedly with the Lord as a teenager. But that's when I turned my life around and began to walk wholeheartedly with the Lord. So God was good to me there. He spared my life again. And by, like I said, at 21 years of age, Patsy and I were married then. We were dating at the time of the accident. I became a leader in the church at age 24, age 25. We were filled with the Spirit when we were 24 years old. And that, again, was in the Mennonite church. Someone came in and taught on it. And Patsy and I were both filled with the Spirit at that time. And by age 25 then, I was an elder in a new church that was beginning there in southern Mara County. By age 26, started in business with two partners, and it was a building, the building and plumbing, because I had license for plumbing and loved to build, so we started that business. And probably 3 to 4 years into it, the one fellow that we were in business with didn't want to be a partner anymore, so we bought him out. And so it was my brother-in-law and myself. And we worked for probably another 3 years before he quit walking with the Lord. And so I was with somebody who was unequally yoked. It's kind of like a marriage where you're unequally yoked. And it's not fun to be in those kind of situations. And so I was asking the Lord, I needed a way out without causing hard feelings because it was family. And so the Lord finally allowed that to happen. But as Harmony Builders drew to a close, I told my brother-in-law, I said, I'm going to go on my own. I said, you can do what you want with Harmony Builders. So I said, I feel like I need to... It was time. I didn't tell him this, but I had been keeping two families for about 3 years, working hard enough to keep two families, because he actually quit working and left me doing most of the work. It was time. I just asked the Lord for a way away from that. When I quit, I was greatly in debt because the last house that he bid was, he forgot the basement. So when I got that house done, I was about $20,000 in the hole and had bills to pay that I couldn't pay. So my father was helping me at that time. He said, I will work for you for nothing until you get your bills straightened out. So him and I worked together for... You know, it was amazing because as I was no longer unequally yoked, the Lord began to bless my business. And within 6 months' time, I was debt-free again and rolling in the right direction. So God does take care of his people. And as it was a perfect example of him blessing me because I was walking with the Lord. So we were able to get that done. And then when I guess this was during the early years of our marriage, we started an addition on our house when Patsy and I were young. We had Jesse already. I think Jamie wasn't born yet when we did the addition. So I was just starting on it, doing footers, and I was cutting a stake one day, cutting a 2x4 into stakes, and I went down through, and the saw came right back up through this finger and just cut the tendons right off in this finger. So this one doesn't work anymore. It's just there. It gets in the way a lot. But they fixed the tendon, but it broke again when I was doing some of the work that we do, and I never had it repaired again. During the winter of 80, when that was just right after we started in business, cutting firewood with my brother-in-law, and he actually chopped my hand when his when it was on top of a chunk of wood, I was went to turn it, and he knocked this one off. I guess you can see that I'm missing one here. So I've got a finger missing too. The Lord brought us through all of that. And there's I've told you the story about tithing, and there was a week during that time when our income was only $30. And we put three of that into the offering plate, and the Lord met all of our needs that week. Patsy and I have tithed since we've been married. That's been one of the things that I learned to do when I was at home, and so we've just always done that, and the Lord has blessed us in that. I have told you, and I'll tell you this again, that it is so much easier to live on the 90% and give the Lord his 10% than it is to live on 100%. The math doesn't always work, but the Lord always takes care of us. He always provides what we need, and that week that we only had the $30 income, he took care of all of our needs that week as well. So thank the Lord for that. I guess one more accident that he brought me through was when 2013, when I fell off of the roof from ice. We were putting a roof on, and there was ice on a piece of metal that I didn't see, and I stepped on that piece, and I was down so fast, I didn't know which way I was going except for down. And that time I broke pelvis on this side, three ribs, tipped my elbow, put a gash in my chin. I landed on a patio chair.
Again, made a place for me to land, because it was a brick patio that I landed on. It, I probably would have been killed again in a two-story house. So I've had a lot of things in my life that have made me learn to trust God. And in all of it, my hope has been in Him. And a lot of you helped during that time. We were here at this church during that time, and we actually got financial help from a lot of these people, when we thank you for that. That's the way God takes care of his people. I don't know, most of you have never been on unemployment, but I must tell you, and I couldn't get unemployment when I did my hand thing, because I was not done at work. But the Lord took care of us through all of that, and he's always faithful. So that's why I put my hope in the Lord. Because he takes care of us over and over and over again. In verse 20 it says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. And as you go through Psalm 71, you'll see David in all of this continue to praise the Lord. And I do that as well. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him for his comfort. Praise him for his healing power. He is everything we need. And so, as you go through life this week, no matter what comes up, put your hope in him. God, I ask that you continue to bring the last song. As we finish up with this last song, if any of you have prayer needs, we'd love to pray with you. We'll come up and pray with you. If there's anyone here who has never accepted the Lord as your Savior, and you'd like to do that today, give you that opportunity.